What do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
Oh, what do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
We're back to that, huh? I say to you, what do you feel like doing tonight? And you say back to me, I don't know, what do you feel like doing tonight? Then we wind up sitting around your house with a couple of cans of beer watching a hit parade on television.
Let's go to movies.
Director!
This is a frightened city.
Wait for it! Director! Cut!
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for a new film talk show, Film Sociology, with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Happy October, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here at WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. And we're also available for podcasting. So my friends on Facebook, you can now listen. My family can actually listen if they can figure out the computer. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Working the board, Melissa Davis, my beloved producer. Hello. Sitting in with us this evening, following up F. Murray Abraham's triumphant debut on Film Sociology, the director of on-air branding and promotions, Mike Ferry.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to follow Murray, but I think I'm up for it.
Well, you know, he followed up Amadeus with the Name of the Rose, so...
There you go.
You are the Name of the Rose of Film Sociology. No, I'm glad you're here. Thank you. Okay, well, and I guess two things we won't talk about today. David Letterman.
No, we can't.
From one Ball State, us Ball State alumni are like, whoo.
He was in a film. Let's talk about him.
About Cabin Boy? Yeah.
Cabin
well,
Boy.
That,
yeah.
One film.
Want to Buy a Monkey. Yeah. Man, I watched that monologue twice and. Whew. On paper, I understand.
Well, did you see it live?
No, I didn't see it live.
It was kind of creepy watching it live.
You saw it live?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, I was asleep.
It was like... Ew.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, I understand why he... Okay, we're talking about it. I understand why he did it, because to get the thing out in the open. But, man, you know, when the cicadas at his Letterman's audience, and I love Letterman, mm-hmm. when they started to stop laughing, they... Yeah, so...
Yeah, there is like... Oh, my God, this isn't a bit.
No.
I don't think they knew what was going on.
Oh, heck, yeah. Heavens no. As I was leaving the AM station I appear on every now and then, guys from CBS were getting arrested. So have fun at the office party this Thanksgiving, CBS. I will say this. I know, we just talked about that, I understand. We will not talk about what Glenn Beck did in 1990.
Oh.
And that's a joke. Let's move on. Because I had to bring up, if I bring up Glenn Beck, of course I have to bring up Michael Moore. His new film is opening today, Capitalism, A Love Story. Guess what it's about, and guess what kind of tactics will be done. Well, give it a listen, and you'll probably got a good idea.
This is Michael Moore. I am here to make a citizen's arrest of the board of directors of AIG.
From Michael Moore.
We're actually here to make a citizen's arrest.
Speak to my supervisor.
In the white shirt?
Yep.
Blue tie?
That's it.
Receding hairline?
The guy who brought you Bowling for Columbine, Fahrenheit 9/11, and Sicko.
What else do you want to leave the building?
Your cameraman and your
team. Oh,
come on out.
All right,
sir.
They don't speak English. Donde?
This fall, the most feared filmmaker in America.
Can I talk to you, sir, for a second? Can you tell me what a credit default swap is? Can you explain a derivative to me?
Will reveal what happens when Wall Street tanks.
Stock markets crash.
Bankruptcy.
Foreclosures.
A global meltdown.
And the government bails.
By spending just a few million dollars to buy Congress, Wall Street was given billions.
The motion is adopted.
You know who Michael Moore is, don't you, Betty? The film director, he's filming me right now.
How did this collapse happen?
I got home on a Friday. Everything was just fine. I called back after my plane landed in Indiana, and all of a sudden we've got this crisis on our hands.
There's got to be some kind of a rebellion between the people that have nothing and the people that's got it all.
Everything was being handled by the Treasury Secretary from Goldman Sachs. They had Congress right where they wanted them. This was almost like an intelligence operation.
This is straight up capitalism. Boom.
Where's our money?
I don't know.
The people here really aren't in charge.
I guess you win.
We want our money back.
Capitalism offers people the freedom to choose where they work.
There isn't anything in here. I'm not going to be a gentleman's club hire dancer.
We're here to get the money back for the American people. I got more bags. That $10 billion probably won't fit in here.
I don't think there's going to be any converters when it comes to Moore's new film. And I had the same feeling watching this that I did with Sicko. And that being said, and I know people don't want to see his stuff. That's fine. I was on AM this morning. I saw the film this afternoon. I was on AM radio this morning, and I said, I'm going to be one of the few people that doesn't talk about the movie despite not seeing it. Well, now I have. When it comes to capitalism, and I guess it really feels about your opinion about his approach, but I would say if you're not 100% satisfied about how your finances are going, just like I'm sure you're not 100% satisfied the way your healthcare is going,
mm-hmm.
I'd say give it a shot. What have you got to lose?
Yeah. Whether you believe everything that's in the movie or not, it'll probably raise enough questions for you that you need to be asking.
Thank you. Yes. Which is how I felt about all of his work. It's hard to believe it's been 20 years since Roger and Me, about my beloved hometown. But yeah, this is how I always feel about his work. This is how I felt about Inconvenient Truth. This is how I felt even about JFK, Oliver Stone, where you and I and Melissa were all suspects in the Kennedy assassination in that film. Wendy from Michigan writes, I feel sorry for your loss, Matt. That means loss of time. That time you'll just never get back. Very sad indeed. My question for Mr. Moore, will he be donating the proceeds of his movie to charity? His next flick should be Capitalism Biting the Hand That Feeds You. Well, thank you, Wendy.
It's a fine line.
It is a fine line. However, yeah. I will say this past week he did host some screenings of the film throughout certain parts of the country that are in real tough economic times, mm-hmm. and did have some proceeds go to local businesses. We shouldn't forget, this is a movie, folks. Mm-hmm. And yes, I know there's that weird gray area that documentaries have now come into, and Moore has a lot to do with that. But it's a movie business, and I could be snarky and say, I don't believe Spielberg sent all of his proceeds from Schindler's List to the Holocaust Survivors Foundation, so it's business. I think this is a lot of capitalism, business evil 101. There was an article that was in Rolling Stone that my father pointed out to me, which I read, about how government and big business have been in each other's yard for a long, long time. Not news for me, not news for, I think, anybody in this room right now.
No.
So, and, it goes back to the 80s. Of course, let's not forget Jack Kennedy's dad, one of the most powerful businessmen alive. So this is not a foreign concept. It might be to the mall crowd. It might be to the mall crowd in suburban fill-in-the-blank. But he does go after the fact that in the 80s, the government became a business. And yeah, he does mention the fact that a certain finance company, when it looked like a certain candidate was going to be elected this past November, they threw a lot of money his way. So it's brought up. He acknowledges that.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried that there was going to be some tactics that I had already seen in previous films and previous television shows, especially The Ugly Truth and obviously TV Nation. And the big one, which you see in the trailer, is him going to the bank with the banks with a big pillowcase with a dollar sign on it. So
right.
As far as digs of that nature, there aren't as many. Not as many on Bush as I would expect, but I guess he's already flogged that dead horse and has moved on.
What else can he say about W, really?
Not much, really. There is a scene where it was one of his famous press conferences where he's talking about that the economy is in a financial crisis, and it's juxtaposed with the White House behind him falling apart with lightning and horror movie screams and all that stuff. So I guess overall, I still enjoy it because, well, somebody needs to dig onto the other end of the spectrum, and I'm all for that. And so, overall, if it does make you hopefully go out and see, find out if he is right or wrong when it comes to his facts and his films, if you're doing that, even to dig at Michael Moore, mission accomplished. So if your finances are in bad shape, if you're worried about your job, if you want to just even find out if this filmmaker is wrong or right, then go check it out. This is what I think of Capitalism, a Love Story.
Yes!
Thank you. Now let's move on to more aspects of the living dead. Not just our finances. Zombieland. This is a new film with Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, Emma Stone, and Abigail Breslin. Is Emma Stone on your watch there, Mr. Perry?
I'll let you know after tomorrow.
Just checking, because you're a special correspondent for certain talents.
Yes, but I'll withhold judgment on Ms. Stone's performance until I see it tomorrow. I do intend to see it as soon as I get up out of bed tomorrow.
Okay. Well, basically, the world has gotten an even worse shape than it is in Capitalism, a Love Story, and there's only about four survivors that we know of. So here's a listen.
Planet Earth, home to over 6 billion people. Today, our very existence is threatened by epidemics, climate change, and dwindling resources. But those are the least of our problems. Welcome to Zombieland.
My mother always told me, someday you'll be good at something. I mean, I don't think she could have guessed that something would be zombie killing.
What do you think? Zombie kill of the week?
Close, but no cigar. Zombie kill of the week went to Miss Cynthia Knickerbocker.
Gotta enjoy the little things.
These fellas really let themselves go.
Zombieland.
You guys want some Purell?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to know Van Halen will be getting a check this month. Because of that. Piece of trivia, there's 3 Academy Award nominees in this picture. There's an uncredited, well, I don't believe it's credited. I don't want to give anything away from that aspect.
I think they did on Letterman last night.
Oh, they did?
Night.
Well, I'm not going to.
Okay.
Well, I think
I know what you're talking about.
Okay. I don't think anybody remembers after Letterman's monologue. He could have brought Brother Theodore back on and nobody would notice. This is a film that fits the tone. It's a film in which I ask, and Abdul has said this before on AM, it is what it is. This is a film in which everybody involved knows exactly what they're working with, what they're dealing with. And the last film I can think of, and there have been others over the years, but one that immediately comes to mind with me is Shoot 'Em Up with Clive Owen, Paul Giamatti, and Monica Bellucci. They're not making an action film from the 80s and 90s. They know they're being that silly. And Zombieland is the same way.
So, I mean, with Shoot 'Em Up, once you start the movie with the hero killing the bad guy with a carrot through the eye.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that sets the tone for the entire movie.
In a birth.
Yeah.
And the other stuff. So, the writers on this is Rhett Reese and Paul Winnick. Ruben Fleischer did the directing on this one. And Jesse Eisenberg's character, who, of course, is from Adventureland and Squid and the Whale, and I know he's been being called the poor man's Michael Cera, but I don't think he stammered and stuttered like Woody Allen in Squid and the Whale. I think that might be his little niche now until whenever. But he plays a loner whose family life was not all that great before Armageddon hit, and he actually winds up doing some serious family bonding with other survivors like Woody Harrelson. Nice to see Woody Harrelson again.
Oh, yeah.
I know he had the uncredited role in No Country for Old Men. He fits this role really well as a badass shoot-em-up. The one thing he can do and do well is killing zombies. And then a sister team of Emma Stone and Ms. Breslin. working, still working long, long after Little Miss Sunshine, which is good to see. But he has a series of rules that he follows, and all these rules are capitalized in one way, shape, or form in Zombieland. Major credit to the makeup people. There's a lot of them in this, and there's a lot of very funny visuals when it comes to zombie movies. They did their homework, and I think obviously the film that you think of is putting it up this high is Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
And I think Shaun of the Dead was at times a satire on daily living and how we just kind of slog through things. And this one, it is a bonding story. It just happens to involve shooting and running away from as many zombies as humanly possible. And by the way, folks, mark on your list, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. I'm waiting for that film to be made. Hopefully it won't take as long as, say, some of the musicals that are eventually made in the motion pictures. When it gets to the end, and you see it in the trailer, there's a big climax that involves an amusement park. And there's a few moments that I think it's still kind of bothering me, but I'm wondering if I'm nitpicking as far as breaking some of their own rules. And or did they deliberately do this so people could yell at the screen like they did at last night's screening? Mm-hmm. But the other thing that happens during the climax, and I should... You've heard me rant on the show before about when a film either turns into or is a big, dumb video game. Think of your favorite. Well, this time around, they were actually able to take the video game concept and use it to their advantage. There's a particular shootout scene between Woody Harrelson when he's on a roller coaster ride and on one of the spinning rides. And mm-hmm. It looks like a video game, and it actually works. So... It is at times brutal to watch, violent-wise, still very laugh-out-loud funny, with stuff I can and cannot tell you. So if you're in the zombies and you're in the comedy, this is from somebody that doesn't like quippy one-liners in his horror films, which, of course, plagued the Freddy films back in the 80s and early 90s. But yeah, it's right up there with Shaun of the Dead. Very brutal, very silly, and a lot of fun. This is
yes.
Yeah. Also opening this week, and I guess, you know, in case your capitalism is too heavy and Zombieland is too bloody and gory, there's With It, a nice little romantic, it's a nice little Valentine to the sport of roller derby for those who wanted something a little more in-depth than, say, Kansas City Bomber. Give a listen.
If I could have dinner with anyone... It would have to be God.
My mom is going to kill me.
It says temporary.
Also from Bodine, Miss Bliss Cavender.
I'm sorry that these pageants don't live up to your high moral standards, but there's a lot you can learn from them no matter what you go on to be in life.
Out of all the places... to go to in the world, who would come to Bodine?
So, what are you, like, alternative now?
Alternative to what?
What is this? Roller derby?
Welcome to Skate Night at the Warehouse. The boys wanna be
with the girls wanna be with. Meet up on aisle 5.
I just want to tell you all that you're my new heroes.
Well, put some skates on. Be your own hero.
The last time I wore skates, they had Barbies on them.
I want to be her. And you said you knew it.
You could be our mascot.
I'm going to change my work schedule because I want to take an SAT class on Tuesdays, Thursdays.
I'm impressed.
I like smart girls. That's why I married your mama. Well, that and I knocked her up. I'ma do
the things that I want. Looking good, Barbie.
I could make out with him, but that is it.
Has anyone ever thrown up on the track before?
Yeah.
Get ready to meet your newest Girl Scout, Babe Ruthless!
This is your SAT class?
I am in love with this.
Let me not take losing the chance for our kid to be happy.
Came in second out of two teams.
That's right, celebrate mediocrity. That's fantastic.
By the way, that was, I think, that's the third Wilson brother. Andrew, yes, not Luke, not Owen, as the coach.
The hidden Wilson.
The bonus Jonas of the Wilson family. Ellen Page, of course, plays the young lady in question. The film is directed by Drew Barrymore, who also produced and has a small role in this. Other familiar faces, Ellen Page's parents, I love cinematic gene pools. Ellen Page's parents are Marcia Gay Harden and Daniel Stern. It's nice to see Daniel Stern in a movie again. I know he's been doing a lot of voiceover work lately. And also, somebody picked up a rock and found her and put her in a movie. Juliette Lewis gets to play the rival.
She's awesome.
Yes, she gets to play the aging rival of Paige's character in this. Catherine Wigg is in it as well. And my favorite stunt lady, Zoe Bell, for you Kill Bill and Death Proof fans.
Love Zoe.
Zoe Bell was Uma Thurman's stunt double in the Kill Bill movies.
Oh,
she was in... Did you see Grindhouse?
No.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Wait, but you have boys in your house and you haven't seen Death Proof?
No.
Anyway,
there's a whole scene with her clinging to the hood of a car.
Yeah, it's pretty fabu. And there's a nice documentary about her getting work. I mean, she was also, I think she was Lucy Lawless's stunt double on Xena as well. Oh. So, I mean, really cool lady. It was fun. The screening for this was Wednesday.
Was it Wednesday?
And the Naptown Roller Girls were there, and they seemed to be having a good time. I learned you don't bring up Kansas City Bombers to them, as much as I like Raquel Welch on wheels. It's a little girl. It's basically Bendit like Beckham on roller skates. It's a storyline that we have seen before. Teenager, boy or girl, you know, semi-obsessive parent or parents. In this case, Marcia Gay Harden's character keeps putting Ellen Page into beauty pageants. And she finds a new life, and outside of her small town life, by becoming a part of an Austin roller derby team. And so that storyline, nothing earth-shattering, kind of predictable. But Paige is very good as usual, which is, I mean, she's got a nice streak going.
Mm-hmm.
If things go well, she's got a long career ahead of her. Wow, she's what, early 20s?
Yeah,
mid 20s,
21 or 22. Yeah,
my
she's young.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That means she was, I don't even want to think about how old she was in Hard Candy, but she's quite good. It's quite scary in that one. And the footage, the game footage, is pretty good. It's not as bad as, say, a Michael Bay film, editing-wise. And Drew Barrymore actually found something good for Jimmy Fallon to do as the smarmy ring announcer. And it's far better than Fever Pitch, so...
Oh, how can it not be?
Oh, Fever Pitch was awful. Besides, let's not forget, I know it was the soccer movie and they made it to the Boston Red Sox. I mean, you know, the same thing happened with High Fidelity, taking it out of London and putting it in Chicago. That's a good adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
Bad one. Anyway, so it's a nice, sweet film that has lots of beer drinking and elbowing and, you know, a make-out scene underwater shot by Barrymore, which is pretty good. So this... is a good evening at the theater. Good evening at the cinemas. Here it is for Whip It.
Now that was a good movie.
It was.
So you're saying Whip It good?
No. I think every headline in the world has that. Well, let's play catch up. Well, I guess we'll do a little bit of catch up. You caught up on a couple of films recently that you got to see.
Yeah.
One of which that wasn't screened for us evil media with our gotcha questions. You saw the Bruce Willis picture, right?
I saw Surrogates last week.
And?
I was impressed with how deep it went. I mean, it was a better film than I expected it to be. You're kind of getting this iRobot vibe, you know,
right.
Robots are integrated into society, created by James Cromwell, which seems to be his niche.
James, all right.
And
that'll do, robot.
This concept has evolved to the point where people are not leaving their bedrooms, let alone their houses, and sending their surrogates out to do their everyday business and other things. And
capital T.
And of course, the surrogates look much better than you ever could hope to look like. It is kind of creepy seeing a computer enhanced youthful Bruce Willis in some of these scenes.
Unless he's wearing tight jeans singing into a wine cooler bottle.
Yeah, and he's not. he's wearing a pretty stiff blonde wig. But while I think the story could have addressed the human condition in this world a little bit more, the story was pretty engrossing. Without giving too much away, circumstances are created that force Bruce Willis out into the world, in the real world, for the first time in years to solve a murder mystery.
But he doesn't have his mom berating him on if he has a job yet, right?
No. So it worked for me on several levels. It worked as a good cop story mm-hmm. and as a futuristic drama that addresses much in the way that WALL-E did what happens, what could happen if we let technology do too much of our workforce.
Okay. Insert Warrior Warcraft comment here.
Yes. Okay. So I thought it was a lot better than even the trailers would lead you to believe it.
Wow.
It is.
Okay. And you saw something. I still haven't seen this in my house. I'm the last person to see Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. So from an adult standpoint, a grown-up standpoint.
It's not written down to the kids, which is an excellent thing. Mm-hmm. The writing was very snappy and very witty, very clever, but not so over the heads of the children that, you know, it's not made for adults. It is made, you know,
okay.
for children, but adults will appreciate it too. And, yes, spend the extra $250 to get the 3D glasses.
Well, yes, I was reminded of that.
But Bill Hader plays a small-town inventor whose inventions often go awry, and he's trying to save the world by creating food out of water.
Ah.
And when the machine gets accidentally blown up into space and it starts raining food, the hilarity ensues.
Cool.
Bruce Campbell plays the town mayor, and he's hysterical.
Blowhard.
Anna Faris plays the love interest. And
everyone's favorite bunny.
And a lot of people that I did not recognize by the sound of their voices in this movie.
Well, that's a sign of good voice work.
Yeah, James Caan plays the boy's father.
Hey.
And he is so deep and so monotone, and I did not know it was James Caan until the ending credits. Lauren Graham, one of my favorites, is in this movie. She has all of maybe three lines, but she gets a solo screen credit. Benjamin Bratt's in this movie. Neil Patrick Harris coming off his big, you know, Emmy night,
yep.
Does a voice in this movie. So a lot of people you probably won't recognize hearing them in the movie, but wow, he was in this? You get a lot of that if you stay through the credits.
And hopefully more on DVD.
Yes.
I did catch up on Fame Light, all right, the remake of Fame that came out. It's a PG-13 version. On surface, I can see that they're kind of leaning this toward the High School Musical crowd, only it's serious. And I was kind of dreading it because I really liked the original. It was funny. I didn't watch it when I was in high school because I was involved in theater and I didn't need to see that. Mm-hmm. I only learned to appreciate it in the last few years. I thought the stunt casting of the faculty was pretty good. Everybody has one or maybe two big scenes. That's Kelsey Grammer, Bebe Neuwirth, Megan Mullally, and Charles Dutton. And they got a couple of everybody's got a nice moment together. But it's all about the kids, and I can't believe this thing could have actually been a half hour longer. Because
really?
If you've seen the original film of Fame, it basically covers a 4-year span at an art school. So there's lots of little plots of pockets of plots and characters, you know, and not everything gets a clear arch, but still you're engrossed with the characters and you're into it. And it does do this to a certain degree. The musical numbers are still pretty impressive. You were reminded that this kid's generation, for their auditions, they do John Legend songs, and they do monologues from Taxi Driver and Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's not perfect. I don't need to speed up or slow down any dance numbers. I would actually like to see the young kids doing their work mm-hmm. without any camera enhancement. And they do, in their own way, address the very uncomfortable scene in the original involving Irene Cara. For those who don't know, there's a scene where Irene Cara thinks she's getting a modeling job, and it's basically a dirty old man taking
right.
topless photos of her. Well, they don't do that in this because it's PG-13, but there is an alumni at the acting school who's going to videotape an audition for a young student, and he starts to get a little bit on the lecherous side, and then she runs away. So, good for her, and cooler heads prevail in that. So if you have art students young budding artist, no, I have not shown this to her yet. I'm debating. I might wait till it comes out on video because she's got other things to do.
Is she watching Glee?
No, not really. Not really. We are. And this week's episode, hello, Kristen Chenoweth.
Love Kristen Stewart.
Yes. Okay, I'm getting the eye roll. Let's take a short break, and we'll talk about what's on DVD and other things. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show, here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis.
And we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows as voted on by music journalists across the city and our On Track artist, featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
We got gas.
You got what?
Guests. Guests.
Guests.
Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
And that's you, Mike Perry. Director of On-Air Branding and Promotions here at WFYI. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Got a couple of notes here. Another mark your calendars. On October 11th at the Central Library's Clues Auditorium, that's 40 East St. Clair Street, they're starting a new series called Hoosiers in Hollywood, and this is going to go once a month from October through March. And on October 11th at 2 p.m., Giant.
Cool.
Go see this on a big screen, especially with James Dean, Rock Hudson, Elizabeth Taylor, young Dennis Hopper near the end, George Stevens' directed epic. Great film. Go see that. And Sunday, October 25th at 1 p.m. at Easley Winery downtown, I'll be hosting a film chat about scary movies, both intentionally and unintentionally scary. So come on out, have some wine after you have your Sunday brunch, which I know you do. Jeff out of Michigan wrote, got to see an early show of Zombieland last night. It was pretty good. I agree. Oh my, Stacy from Indianapolis. All movies I'm so curious about, which we talked about earlier. I can't wait to see Zombieland especially. Very good. And Jeff from Las Vegas. This is a nice segue to something that's on DVD. Monsters vs. Aliens was fun, we thought. No opinion on the others. Well, we'll get to that in a second, Jeff. New on DVD this week is a film that right now is in my top 10, even though we shouldn't really be talking about the best of the year because it's October. Call me back in 2 months, but it is the Sam Mendes family comedy drama, Camarana, Dramedy, I don't know, who cares.
Movie
called Away We Go, and it stars John Krasinski from The Office and Maya Rudolph, formerly Saturday Night Live, is a young couple. She's 6 months pregnant, and they're trying to find a new place to raise their child.
When are we screw-ups?
What do you mean?
I mean, we're 34.
33.
We don't even have this basic stuff figured out.
We're not screw-ups.
We have a cardboard window.
Okay, we have news. We're leaving in June.
Baby's due in July.
To Antwerp in Belgium.
You're moving 3,000 miles away from your grandchild.
Oh, I think it's more than 3,000, isn't it, Jerry?
Oh, I think so.
You know, we don't have to stay here.
Well, where do we go?
We agree we need to be near someone we know, so we could go anywhere we want.
Wow.
I have been searching all of my days.
Now I'm wondering what we're doing.
Did you look at the itinerary? I think it'll be inside of your jacket.
Many a road, you know.
See?
I've been walking on.
Oh, good. I was almost out.
Does this mean you guys will finally get married?
I almost left Lowell about a dozen times. Kids don't know that.
I have been quietly.
Hey, what if something happens to one of us and just makes us go crazy?
All we can do is be good for this one baby. We don't have control over much else.
And my eyes confound me. And it's just too bright.
What's wrong with strollers?
I love my babies. Why would I want to
push them away from me.
As the days keep turning into night.
Are you in this room?
Sweetheart, listen to your
love you. Even if it takes you months to lose this weight,
even,
even if you're enormous, you go ahead and write that in stone. In your heart.
Feels alright.
I'm gonna do something about those ears. He looks like a trophy.
I just don't think we should be talking about it right in front of the children.
Oh, please. Bert, it's just white noise to them. Listen, watch this. Taylor. 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 Keep going on and on.
I love Allison Janney. Sam Mendes, of course, this is his follow-up to his... This is an absolute flip of the coin, a coin flip, 180-degree turn from his angst-ridden family drama, Revolutionary Road, which made my top five last year. He's got a chock full of really good supporting actors in this. The parents are Catherine O'Hara, Jeff Daniels. You heard Allison Janney and Jim Gaffigan. Maggie Gyllenhaal's in this. And they all kind of come off the bench. They got one scene, basically, or a couple of moments. And they go, they hit a couple threes, and they go back on the bench. And all of this is wrapped around two really solid performances by John Krasinski and Maya Rudolph.
Who kind of come off looking like supporting players in their own movie.
They do, because this is the first, this is real, I mean, Krasinski was a star in Leatherheads and has done other things. But, yeah, I was worried that if they were going to get swallowed up, but they are so good in this.
Everyone is. You mentioned all the supporting players. They are so broadly drawn, but so recognizable that it makes you identify with the central to the central couple. It was just a delightful film. I don't say delightful about too many movies. This one is delightful.
Thank you, Sandra Lee. Yeah, it's we have what you heard from the course from the trailer. Maggie Gyllenhaal, who's stunning in this, is the very new agey college professor with her husband, and you know they're against strollers. And Gaffigan and Janney are the she was a former boss of Maya Rudolph's character, and just a little too drinky, a little too early in the day. Another stop they go in Montreal, which there's a scene in there that's just absolutely devastating in the dance hall.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fun road movie with two really sweet performances from Maya and John, and it's really a lot of fun. It actually did very well in theaters, and hopefully it'll do even better on DVD. So here we go with Away We Go.
Yes.
Oh, Jared from Louisville wanted me to say, ooh, Zombieland. There, I said it. Jeff Cobb, Jeff from Las Vegas earlier, brought up Monsters vs. Aliens. It's a good time to bring up that. Let's listen and see what hilarity is happening there.
Mr. President, we have a situation.
Once again, a UFO has landed in America. The only country UFOs ever seem to land in.
Humans of Earth,
my quest has led me to your planet.
Give it to me now!
You should in no way take any of this personally. It's just business. Galaxar out.
Somebody think of something and think of it fast.
Mr. President, we need a Hail Mary pass. We need raw power. We need monsters. Say hello to Insectosaurus.
Don't scare Insectosaurus.
It's okay, buddy.
I'm not going to let this human hurt you.
Here we have the missing link, a 20,000-year-old fish man.
Papa's a little out of shape.
This handsome fellow is Dr. Cockroach, PhD.
I'm not a quack, I'm a mad scientist.
Oh dear.
We call this an indestructible gelatinous mass.
Hi, I'm Bob.
As you can see, he has no brain.
It turns out you don't need one.
And our latest addition. She's 50 stories tall.
Yippee!
With enormous strength and size.
What do people scream when they see you coming? You know, like, look out! Here comes!
Susan.
Susan! Ooh, I just scared myself.
All right, monster! Move out!
Welcome! We are here to destroy you!
What?
I got him, you guys! I got him! Don't worry, I won't let go! I'm wearing him down! Hot dogs!
A monstrous event in true 3D, coming March 2009.
And now on DVD in September, and now October. We were talking over during the trailer. A lot, like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, a lot of voices in this one.
Yep, and some that you wouldn't recognize right off the bat.
Reese Witherspoon, of course, is Ginormica. Seth Rogen, Stephen Colbert, Will Arnett.
Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie.
And Kiefer Sutherland channeling George C. Scott.
Nice to see Kiefer doing something light for a change. He needs to rest. I often said he needs to be a wacky dad in a sitcom. When 24 is over and he does some movies that are hopefully better, at least live action, he should be the courtship.
And they could even still follow the 24 format, you know, stay in the life of dad.
Damn it. Yeah. Or else innocent people will die. You have to go to school and pass the test, or else innocent people will die. 24 drinking game, folks. Talk to me on the street. I won't say it on the air. This is a throwback. This is for adults. You talked about how Cloudy is geared toward kids. This one's for both. It's for kids and adults. There's a lot of nice little homages to the Universal horror films of the 40s and then the sci-fi alien movies of the 50s and early 60s.
And plenty of jokes that will go over the kids' heads, but you will love.
Although, you know what's funny? There's a scene where Bob, arguably my favorite, of the monsters, where he's sitting in a cell and he's taking out a ball that winds up in his head, and he picks it up and he bounces it against the wall and it lands into his head. Emma saw that and went, "Daddy, that's from Chicken Run." And I leaned over and said, "No, honey, that's from The Great Escape." No, I've not shown Emma The Great Escape yet. But yeah, little things like that. A couple moments that probably could have been snipped for my taste, like Stephen Colbert as the ridiculous president because he does his. There's a couple moments, especially this is me being a prude. I don't need to hear Terror Alert Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, gives you in the, anyway. Wah, wah. Thank you. Thank you, trombone lady.
Yeah.
New title, producer and trombone lady. But overall, a lot of fun. I mean, the 3D effects are pretty good for this one, and I guess I'm trying to get past the fact that, you know, you can do a good animated film if Pixar is not involved. And this is the case in this one. So overall, this is what we think of Monsters vs. Aliens.
Now that was a good movie!
Okay. I think we got a few messages in here I wanted to get to before we get to this list, if we have... I think we have time on this. I think we'll table the Blu-ray section for this week. Andrew from Phoenix asks, why do people keep casting Ray Liotta and Nicolas Cage in movies? Is it because they work cheap? Are they like the illegal immigrants of Hollywood? Are those the parts that Americans won't do? Well, I actually liked Ray Liotta in Observe and Report.
Yeah, but what I liked about him is that he was almost playing a parody of himself.
Exactly. And Nicolas Cage, I hate to say this, I am strangely intrigued with Bad Lieutenant. The next film he's doing with director Werner Herzog. It is not a remake of the Abel Ferrara film. I think it's just associated by name and character type, although I think Mr. Cage is keeping his clothes on in this one compared to Harvey Keitel, and that's really okay.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Yes, but this could either be really awful or
really good.
Get drunk and watch silly.
Nicolas Cage is one of those actors that I can watch him in a really bad movie.
Really?
And still enjoy him.
Even Wicker Man?
Even Wicker Man.
Even National Treasure?
Even National Treasure.
Bangkok Dangerous?
Okay, I do have my limits. But
man's got to know his limitations.
But, you know, and I don't really want to make the direct comparison to Gene Hackman, but I can watch Gene Hackman in the worst piece of crap on the screen and still enjoy his performance.
Well, let's see. No, we won't talk about that. Out of respect for Mr. Hackman. Andrew also asked, what did you like better, Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, or Bring It On 3, All or Nothing? I haven't seen the latter. I'm going to go with the former because I don't own movies about high school cheerleaders. or at least the sequels. So we'll move on. Michael from Indianapolis writes, I absolutely agree with Andrew's comments on Nicolas Cage and Ray Liotta. Cage became famous because of his family. All right.
I don't buy that.
It was a starting point. It is not why.
Yeah.
So, and Ray Liotta, apparently Anthony Hopkins ate whatever little talent he had. That's, yeah, with fava beans and nice Chianti. However, JR from Indianapolis writes, as far as Ray Liotta, it's time to watch Dominic and Eugene again. Very good. Yeah,
yes.
That was before he became typecast as the heavy.
Yeah.
He was also in Field of Dreams, folks. Let's not forget that.
Mm-hmm.
David from Indianapolis writes, he's setting us up for this one. What is the worst edited classic all-time best movie? Or rather, one with the most jarring cuts? I have one that comes to mind. You ready? The Maltese Falcon. One of my favorite movies. Every version I've seen has jarring cuts with actors changing positions. Seems as though the movie was almost done and someone else came and finished editing. Particularly annoying to me is near the end in the living room. I need to watch that again.
Yeah, my worst edited movie would have to be the TV version of Blazing Saddles.
Oh, well, that's different. That's a whole edited for content, not the film itself.
But they put in, to fill for time for everything they had to take out of that, they put in stuff that was deleted.
Right.
And now you can see on the DVD.
Yeah, like the extra stuff that happens to Mongo things like that. But that's editing for television, not editing it's in and of itself.
You weren't clear on your parameters, man.
No, I wasn't clear. It was David from Indy who was not clear, all right? He said, worst edited classic all-time best movie.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay. Fine. Let's berate the listeners more, shall
Everyone
we?
Has okay. to be very specific.
Or very pacific. All right.
I just take you very literally.
Everything is literally. He literally fell out of his chair. Really?
He did?
No. He literally blew his brains out. No, I'm afraid he didn't if he's still with us. Isn't that the word guy on Fresh Air? Anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. This past week... Wow. The Rotten Tomatoes, which is a fun website in and of itself, because it's getting near the end of the aughts, I guess they had the list of the 100 worst-reviewed movies that people at Rotten Tomatoes have seen. So I made out copies of this list. It's a scary list, by the way. And, you know, of course, the big thing is, how many have you seen? And I'm going to go through the top 10, and then I will check the numbers with my colleagues here at in the studio. Number 10, the Steven Seagal prison epic Half Past Dead. Number 9, the Master of Disguise with Dana Carvey. Number 8, another Ashley Judd thriller called Twisted. Number 7, National Lampoon's Gold Diggers, which I didn't know was released in theaters. Number 6, Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2.
That's just wrong.
Directed by Bob Clark. Number 5, King's Ransom. That's with Anthony Anderson. Number 4, Roberto Benigni's Pinocchio. Life is not beautiful. Number 3, Crossover, which I believe is a film that came out this year. Number 2, the Yule Bowl video game classic, Bad, Alone in the Dark. And their number 1 worst-reviewed film, according to Rotten Tomatoes, Ballistic X versus Sever. That was with Lucy Liu and Antonio Banderas. And it was directed by a guy named Chaos, who should just get kicked in the nutsack, just on principle. Melissa, of the 100, how many have you seen?
I think I'm going with 2.
Two?
I have seen 2 of these films.
And what were
the
they?
The 2 that I've seen are they're pretty bad. Corky Romano.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's bad. That's
I saw that in the theater.
In the theater? Oh.
Okay, because I love Chris Kattan. Like, I love that Mango character from SNL because it's just so bizarre and ridiculous.
Right.
So my friend John and I think we were in
Thanks,
college.
John.
Yeah, we didn't have anything to do, and we were like, we were, you know.
In Muncie? Are you kidding?
Picking around Muncie, yeah. And so we went to go see Corky Romano, and I remember leaving the theater and just being like, no, that did not just happen. I was like, wow.
Mr. Kattan, not easy to take in 90-minute increments as opposed to 5.
He's funny, but the story was, I mean, it wasn't even like, it was awful. Like, it was terrible, terrible. I don't know. It was just, I couldn't believe that film had occurred. And then I saw stealing Harvard with my super secret boyfriend Tom Green. He's in the movie.
You know what? He apparently can't do films well if the umbilical cord is not involved.
Okay, that movie is actually good. I think that
there's a never ending debate about the fine line of Freddy Gets Fingered.
Freddy Gets Fingered will become a cult classic.
Onion did do a piece, I think, as a new cult canon.
Yeah. Stealing Harvard is bad. I hate to say it. Yeah, I mean,
was he trying to get his show off the ground? Maybe.
I don't know. Like he was trying. He was really trying, and like
to be the second banana.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that reading the script, it probably didn't look that bad on paper actually, but just the way it was executed, it just didn't work. And I remember being in the theater and being like, man, I want to love this, but I just can't.
Yep. So, poor Jason Lee. Poor Megan Mullally. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, wow, too. You know what? That's why you have great skin, because you haven't had to suffer
through
the
sad
such bad material.
Awful movies.
Well, Mike?
Well, out of the 100, and it was, by the way, it was hard to tell which was the worst and which was the best just by their position on the list.
I understand that.
Out of the 100, I have seen 10 of them.
Wow. Let's hear them.
That's self-control.
That's not bad.
I did see Ballistic, X versus Sever.
Yeah.
The Forsaken, Blood Rain, The Whole 10 Yards, Christmas with the Cranks, Deck the Halls, The Order, White Noise, Elektra, Man of the House, and, in my opinion, the worst travesty in cinematic history, Catwoman. So much promise, so little delivery.
Because we were told there's going to be a movie with Halle Berry
in a
cat suit. I'm sorry.
I'm there. I'm sorry.
Yes, guys went in droves, and then it just...
I felt so dirty leaving that theater.
I did for different reasons. But yeah, that was such a letdown. Huge, huge, huge letdown. Well, 2, 10... 53.
Oh, my God.
Well, I've been a film critic for 8 years.
It's your job.
That's my job. Remember, I see films so you don't have to. And, boy, these are just, I don't want to go through all these because it's bad. Norbit and from Justin to Kelly.
You saw that in the theater?
I saw it on DVD. DVD, but still.
Okay.
Although
like,
it was fun because the list I got this from, I can't remember somebody from Rotten Tomatoes, but they put in parentheses in the theater.
Oh.
I think that thing went so, that was one of those really quick ones. I mean, it died after a week and it came out on DVD or video in a matter of like months, like 2-3 months.
I was going to send you a belated condolence card for that one.
Oh, man. I remember giving that to, Chris Spangle, former Abdul in the Morning producer, now head of the Libertarian Party. That was his going away present for me. It was a DVD copy of From Justin to Kelly. That was in the $2 bin at a certain shop we all know and love.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Which one of those movies that you have seen are you the angriest that you had to sit through?
See, that's hard. I always kind of fall back on the I don't keep lists, even though I'm a film critic, because I have a wife and a child and jobs and all that sort of thing. But, From Justin to Kelly hurt. Basic Instinct 2 really hurt. Remember, that was the worst film that year. Swept Away, the Madonna remake.
Oh, yeah.
That was an abortion. I said it. Rollerball. I remember Rollerball was the worst film that year I saw. Part of it was because I love the original so much.
That's why I refused to see the remake.
Boat Trip was one of my worst films of the year. The year that came out. Surviving Christmas was really, really painful. That's the one with Ben Affleck and James Gandolfini. Sorry.
Was Jamie Lee Curtis in that as well?
No, that's Christmas with the Cranks.
Oh, okay.
All the bad holiday movies are in. I think Deck the Halls. Yeah, Deck the Halls made the list.
Yeah.
Christmas with the Cranks was the one with Jamie Lee Curtis and Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Who were going to...
I remember really hoping. I love Jamie Lee Curtis.
I do, too.
I was hoping that was going to be... I didn't see it, so...
Yeah. I'm not sure whether to feel... happy or sad that she's now known as the yogurt
doing
lady.
The yogurts. I don't get the yogurt thing.
I don't either. I know
she's pay well.
It must pay well, and I can't remember if she's still writing books, and she still makes fun of her husband for being snippy at interviews.
That's what I would just hang out with Christopher Guest and laugh all day. Like the yogurt. I don't get the yogurt, but whatever. I don't know.
It's fine. Maybe she has
your money.
Maybe she has an issue and she is actually behind it. You know? Like Wilford Brimley and diabetes.
Yeah.
Diabetes. Testing services. Sorry.
Gosh, I said abortion, you give me scoff, but you're going to do impersonate Wilford Brimley, why don't you?
That's so good.
Yeah, Half Past Dead, that was god-awful. And this was one. Emma wanted to see Roberto Benigni's Pinocchio.
Oh, why?
Well, think of, she doesn't know the Benigni thing. Okay, she just knows it's a story of a little boy who's a puppet, and it's actually a 50-year-old man playing the boy who's a puppet. And it was one of those, I found it for $2 at another certain unnamed store, and I watched it, and fortunately it was one of those, she was young enough that she kind of forgot about it, and I sold it back immediately.
Wow.
It was awful.
And I never saw it, but it's just a more literal version of the original fairy tale. I mean, do Pinocchio's legs get burned in the fire and all that evil stuff that Disney
I don't remember because I don't remember because there was I was intrigued why Roberto Benigni's voice had Topher Grace's voice in English.
Ah.
Just bad. Yeah. So, yeah, this is a really heavy list. And you know what scares me even more is the stuff that I didn't see. Venom, My Boss's Daughter. It was great this past week. The Onion, of course, one of our favorite sources here at Film Sociology. This week's installment of My Year of Flops was Josie and the Pussycats, and they talked about how it was a great idea at one time, and then they hired three actresses, and they wrote two actresses, Tara Reid.
Yeah, I'm guessing Rosario's not putting down her resume.
No. That was also bad. God.
It was a good idea back in the 60s when the cartoon was out.
Yeah, they waited a little while for that one.
Yeah. I mean, you think some of the musicals that come from Broadway to cinema take a long time, like Rent or Nine or Phantom of the Opera? Yeah, that was pretty bad, too. I guess I'm also bitter because I wrote a screenplay called The Josie and the Pussycats Anthology.
Did you really?
I did.
Oh,
I'll have to bring it in.
Oh.
Lynn thinks I should stage it instead of making it into a film. And I think
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well,
my
only concern is I'm wondering if, and I'm guessing no, one, this film didn't do well, which made me feel better about myself. But two, I don't know if the Hanna-Barbera people are going to find it amusing.
Maybe you could retitle it like a joke title, you know? Like,
maybe.
Yeah.
Like some of the murder mystery improv shows
that
happen in town.
The Brady Bunch play went on, right?
Did?
Yeah. I mean, years ago, they did a play based upon Brady Bunch off Broadway. Jane Lynch was actually Mrs. Brady.
She was?
Yeah.
That would have been hysterical.
God, screw the movies.
Was.
I would love to see Jane Lynch as Florence Henderson.
That would be cool. Yeah. Oh, that'd be very cool.
You should do it, Matt. I think that's a good idea.
The hipsters
would like it. I think it would be a big hipster hit.
Well, yeah. I'll have to look at it again. Of course, the other project I work on that didn't get off the ground was, and because somebody did this in L.A., Call Me Crazy, the Anne Heche monologues. And it was basically people reading excerpts from the book. I read the book.
Awesome.
It's awful. It's so bad. I'm happy that she's in a better place in her life right now, and she likes men again this time.
Today.
But it's just an awful, awful memoir, and I wanted to do it really badly. In fact, I emailed the woman that staged it in L.A., and she goes, it's not worth it. She said she had so many headaches with lawyers.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, because there was a bit, she staged it in, this woman staged it in L.A., and, you know, and got tired of it being asked about it by the press. So she and said lawyer went in and did something about it. Kind of like Glenn Beck's lawyers this week.
You weren't going to talk about that.
I'm not going to talk about it. We're not going to ask what happened in 1990 because it's a joke, folks. If he can be crazy and cry and yell and rant on television, then...
And apparently he can.
Apparently he can. He got on the cover of Time. But anyway, Capitalism and Love Story is still in theaters, folks. So
don't know that I want to live in a world where Glenn Beck's on the cover of Time magazine.
I don't know either.
Oh, man.
Here's a question. When was the last time you read Time?
the actual magazine or online?
Oh, you read it online?
Yeah, I do read online stuff from them, I guess, sometimes.
Is it free?
Yeah.
Not like the New York Times that hadn't figured out what they should have been doing 10 years ago to help things out. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's really, really bad. Melissa, have you seen it? Well, I haven't seen anything.
I've been watching Strangers with Candy on TV.
Still on that?
I can't get enough of that show. I love
Strangers. How many discs is it?
Oh, it's, they have a Trapper Keeper's worth of Strangers with Candy. There's three seasons. I don't know. I think it's awesome. I don't understand why Amy Sedaris isn't just, like, the queen of everything in the universe. But
and not getting $20 million a picture.
She's so funny. Yeah. And that show is so funny. Like, every time I watch it, I see something funnier about it. But anyways, anyone who watches Strangers with Candy knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's awesome. It's the best show ever.
What she said.
Good stuff.
And on that note, until next week, the documentary It Could Get Loud, I think, opens next week. On behalf of Mike Perry and Melissa Davis, I'm Matthew Soucy. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.